afternoon. Good evening. It is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. The Drive with Sam Piper. You heard from Derek in the first hour. He is taking today off to be with his family. Makes perfect sense. And then he's off to Boston for, of course, the next round of games, hopefully for Illinois to be able to play two in Boston. That would be wonderful. It'll start Thursday night against the Iowa State Cyclones. And if you win that, then you've got a Saturday showdown probably with number one seed and the number one overall seed in the tournament. And that would be the UConn Huskies sitting there at 33-3. Now, we've got some postgame from Illinois after their victory on Saturday. But before we get to that, I was going to go through, Kyle, starting on Saturday, was going to go through a few games and get your thoughts, because I'm sure you watch these a lot closer than I did. So we'll get your thoughts, and the ones that I was able to kind of see a lot of, I'll definitely throw my thoughts out there.
My
as
weekend
well.
Activities were watch basketball, watch more basketball, watch some more basketball, watch another basketball game.
That was it, sleep. Huh? And eat.
Eat.
Did you eat it all in there?
Yeah, I did.
I know I wasn't very proud of my oldest son. I was proud of him in the sense that he took Thursday, Friday off, and for four straight days he had three TVs set up.
That's what I did last. See, I was a little upset this year because last year my spring break fell perfectly on the first week of the tournament. Now, it was fun watching the conference tournaments and watching Illinois win the Big Ten title during my spring break, but last year I did in my basement back at home.
I had
three TVs set up, and I didn't move from the couch for 4 days until I had to go back to school. That's the move, man.
It's like, Kyle, you have to shower at some point this weekend. You have to. I'm making you shower.
The thing is that UConn and San Diego State are still playing. I can't. What am I supposed to do?
That's a good point. No, that's fair on that. So I was proud of Lucas for having the three TVs set up and watching nonstop basketball, but I was not proud of him in the sense that he blew off two of his brother's baseball games. So, you know, when you're the oldest, you get to make that decision. When you're the youngest, you don't get a choice. You have to go with your parents to watch your big brother or big sister play. So I said, you know, Lucas, it would be nice if you'd go support your brother. He went to all of your games, but he decided against that, and nobody told him no. So that's what you got there. I also noticed this weekend that Caitlin Clark's dad told her to shut up during a game.
That video is great.
Caitlin Clark was complaining to officials and was kind of a little overboard on it, constantly doing it. And all of a sudden, she starts having a conversation with her dad in the stands, and they take a close up of her dad, and he's like, "Shut up!" That was incredible. And so, hey, Caitlin, just do me one thing. You've been great for sports.
I know.
You've been great for a lot of younger kids. I don't mean just females, just girls, although it has been incredible for a lot of girls. But you have been wonderful for college basketball. You're the star of college basketball right now. Let's don't get too big-headed on this. Let's don't become an issue. That's the one thing that I'm hoping happens with Caitlin Clark. Just don't become an issue. I understand that you have an opinion on occasion on a call, and that's fine, and she's probably the captain of the team and can visit with the officials, but just don't make it an issue where your dad's in the stands telling you to shut up. I mean, that's a little bit much. But
she's definitely got some Coleman Hawkins to her.
She totally does. She totally does. So that is definitely the case. Kyle, the Big Ten's 6-4 right now in the NCAA tournament. Of course, a couple of wins both from Illinois and Purdue. Wisconsin, an early loss. Nebraska takes an early loss. Northwestern 1-1, and then, of course, run into UConn and found out how good they are. What do you think so far of a 6-4 start? The Big East 6-0, by the way.
Yeah, the conference tournament records, or not tournament, just conference records in the NCAA tournament. And, oh, look, this one team from the, I know that's the big Big East narrative out there. It's like, well, the Big East is undefeated in the tournaments. Why didn't we get three other Big East teams in? You disrespected this conference. Well, you have three really good teams who played double-digit seeds this weekend and
exactly. Did
what they're supposed to do. It's not some proclamation about how Seton Hall got screwed because UConn beat Northwestern. So I do get a little tired of that. And at the end of the day, for the Big Ten, like, yeah, Michigan State wins a game, Northwestern wins a game, Nebraska and Wisconsin lose their first game, and ultimately the two teams that separated themselves from the rest of the conference made the Sweet 16. So it went just about as I expected.
There you go.
Just sometimes with the, you know, looking at the conference performance in the NCAA tournament, I feel like people, I'm not saying you were doing this just saying people overreact a little bit and make these bold proclamations about the season when it's not really that simple.
That's fair. What about the non-committal from AJ Store?
Orange and blue next year or what? I mean, we need a Terrence Shannon replacement. Come on down, AJ.
That would be about the perfect guy to come in and fill in those shoes.
He was committed to Illinois a couple of years
ago.
Right,
exactly. So I guarantee you in Wisconsin they're a little worried about that. Yeah. Before we go through these games, I mentioned that we would go through the U of I Atlanta Lake text line. I want to try to get to some of these. Anthony said the Houston game was wow. Missing 16 free throws was a killer. But in the final minute, A&M had two deep twos where a foot was on the line, half a foot back, and it doesn't go into overtime. Wanted nothing more than to see Sampson lose, second only to watching Pearl lose. And, of course, Kelvin Sampson is who he's talking about. We'll get Kyle's thoughts on that Houston game. I know you loved it from last night. 217, I swear I've been asking all year why we weren't playing Danger. I remember this texter asking this, especially when we were dropping Coleman in coverage anyway. I always thought Coleman, and then it shifted, I always thought Coleman which could still separate the floor at the 4-2. I never understood it. Nonetheless, it all worked out. We can kind of dig into that a little bit more this week on that. Kenny, wouldn't it be great if we had a round three of Purdue versus Illinois? Of Purdue-Illinois in the national title game. I'll take that. Bill, question for Iowa State guy. How do you sell subscriptions to the number two college in a state with 47 people? Bill, do you know the budget for Iowa State is more than the budget for Illinois? They listed the top budgets left in the Sweet 16. Illinois was like right in the middle, about $14 million. Iowa State's around $16 million. I did not realize that. I honestly did not realize that. Scott said Friday morning's going to suck. It is Good Friday. We're actually off at our agency, so I'll maybe be able to handle that a little better. Let's see. Big Def. Anything in Asia is far east, and they're 12 hours ahead of us, not behind. That's why I said east, I guess, because I remember hearing the far east. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good call, Big Def. Thank you. Heath, curious to what you guys think. If somehow Terrence Shannon carries us to the national title and is the MVP of the tournament, is he then available? Is he then available to the media? How do the national outlets write about him then? He will not be available, I can promise you that, until his trial is over. Illinois is not going to make him available. I think that's the case.
That is the case.
Okay, that's what I thought.
They sent out a note to all people there at when the NCAA tournament started that he would not be made available for the rest of the season.
There you go. So he will not be available. Adam and Normal, glad you guys didn't talk Cardinals. Going to be a long summer. I agree. Glad the Illini made a run so I don't have to think about the upcoming season. No doubt. Lindy, by the way, has invited you over. Kyle,
setup looks pretty sweet.
It looks sweet.
Yeah.
Lindy always has a great setup ready to roll. Nick in Texas, the last time we played in the Final Four, Louisville's best player was Garcia. I can't remember his first name. I believe he played in the NBA for a few years. Yes, Illinois beat him in that game in St. Louis, and I can't recall his name either. But, yeah, Illinois smoked Louisville in the first game there in St. Louis. Wade, Sky Clark's in the portal. Shocking, right? Big Def again, totally agree with the texter saying Dane should have played more once defensive philosophy changed, if not before that.
Francisco Garcia.
Francisco,
for Louisville.
Good call. That's right. And then Darren says on the U of I line, like text line, how about Amori coming from Rutgers? I heard that somewhere this weekend. He is in the portal.
Illinois did reach out to him, although I would say I think Rick Pitino might be swooping in on that one.
Where's Pitino at?
St. John's.
That's right, St. John's. So, yeah, Cliff Amore, who is from where? He's from, is it?
He's from out east there. He might be from New York.
I think, though, originally he is from another country, right?
And well, yes.
Yeah, I just couldn't remember exactly where. But, yeah, I think he went to school in America out east. So, that will work there. 217, if TJ leads Illinois to a national championship, will he then qualify to get his jersey hung up in the rafters? I think there's a lot of things working in this. you have to be an All-American, either first team or second team. And he was a, I think, consensus, right? You have to be a consensus, either first team or second team. And Terrence Shannon is not. I would say they have the ability, Illinois has always said this, they have the ability to, if you don't meet one of the requirements that you have to meet to become, to get your jersey in the rafter, then there is a way that they can vote in someone that doesn't meet some of the requirements. Now,
so there's six criteria.
Okay.
You have to meet one of them in order to have your jersey in the rafters. You have to either be a National Player of the Year, enshrined in the National Basketball Hall of Fame, Big Ten Player of the Year, consensus first or second team All-American, Illinois All-Century team member, or individual whose pioneering efforts made a significant impact on Illinois and international basketball.
Okay.
I think if Terrence Shannon Jr. is named most outstanding player of the NCAA tournament and raises a national championship trophy, I think he could probably fit that under that sixth category.
I totally agree. Or even the All-Century team, I think he would make that.
Yeah, down the road.
Down the road,
he would, obviously. Yes.
But that'd be a long way down the road. So, and I think a lot of it is going to depend on what happens in Kansas. I think a lot of it will depend on that. So we'll have to see how it goes. Marcus, how about Tommy the Superfan commercial? So funny. Yeah, Tommy's the guy. Tommy Roush, he tailgates next to us.
Is that right?
He's the kid with the cowboy hat, and he was shirtless, flexing for the camera. I saw that. I know a lot of people were tweeting that out. He was the king of Twitter, Tommy was. So, yeah, it's always fun to see him on Saturday mornings, because when he gets there, he's never really that happy because it's early in the morning like the rest of us. But then he kind of gears up when the friends come around later in the day. So good for Tommy, man. He had a lot of airtime certainly in that. All right, thanks for texting in. 359-2255. If you want to continue to do that, please do. I want to take you through some of these games, or all of the games real quick, that occurred this weekend, starting with Saturday. And Kyle, if you want to give a brief description of each, we'll go from there. You had North Carolina beating Michigan State 85-69.
Thank God.
I know. Michigan State did their thing, right? They won the first game in that 8-9 matchup. But
and they came out firing in that NC game. They looked like they were going to blow North Carolina out the first 10 minutes. And I think UNC finished the first half on like a 28-4 run and didn't look back.
Ended up, the Tar Heels outscored Michigan State 40-31 in the first half. So, listen, North Carolina is kind of that sneaky one, right, that a lot of people aren't talking about. But they certainly look good against Michigan State there. You had Arizona taking down Dayton 78-68. Kyle Boswell.
Kylan.
He looks pretty solid, man. That Arizona team, I think, is coming out of that region.
Yeah, they need Kylan Boswell to play well. He's been so up and down this year,
right,
where he's been kind of a no-show some of the time, and other times when he's really playing well, they are going. But I am with you. I had Arizona coming out of this region. I think if we do get the North Carolina-Arizona regional final, that is going to be a heck of a game, because you have Caleb Love on Arizona, who obviously transferred out of North Carolina and wasn't in the greatest graces of North Carolina fans based on how his season went last year.
Such a committee move.
And so that would be really fun, but I agree with you. Arizona looks pretty impressive.
Iowa State, as mentioned, over Washington State, 67-56. Of note, that game was tied at half, 27-all, and then Iowa State outscored the Huskies 40-29.
That was kind of your typical Iowa State game script.
Yes.
If Thursday night's game goes like that game did, Iowa State is going to win.
I see what you're saying. Kind of keep it low scoring in the first half and then kind of, you know, exert their will, if you will, in the second half. Tennessee over Texas, 62-58, a lot closer than I thought. Dalton Connect with 18 points, 9 rebounds for the Volunteers. What'd that say about Tennessee not getting by Texas that easily?
They shot it awfully, and they still found a way to win. I still think that they're in good shape. I don't think they're going to play that poorly offensively again. I can't remember what Kinect shot from the floor, but yeah, he got 18 points, but he shot
like not efficient
4 for 19 or something. So I think it was actually a good thing for Tennessee to survive Texas despite playing so poorly offensively. I think Kinect will probably bounce back and have a big game against Creighton.
And that's who they play next. Creighton, who, if you see the final score of this thing, you would not realize this game went to double overtime, but Creighton exploded in the second overtime and defeated Oregon 86-73 to advance. So the Blue Jays advance in the tournament to the Sweet 16. Gonzaga has looked really good so far in two games. They were a team that some people thought might be upset early, but they have come out and just gone crazy, including an 89-68 win over Kansas, and it was all in that second half. Believe it or not, Kansas had the lead at halftime of that game, and then Gonzaga outscored the Jayhawks 46-24 in the second half. It's a banged-up Kansas team, but certainly Gonzaga doing what they did in that second half showed you they've got something.
Yeah, I think they're going to give Purdue everything they can handle, and their big guy, Graham EK, while he's smaller, that's going to be a fun battle between him and Zach Edey on Friday night. And just think about the fact that Illinois and Illinois fans and us here on the show are so happy to finally make a Sweet 16, and it's been this unachievable goal for the last 19 years. Mark Few and Gonzaga have made the Sweet 16 every year since 2014.
That's amazing. It's 10 straight, right?
10 straight. Just wash, rinse, repeat. We're back here again, just like it's nothing. It puts it into perspective sometimes.
And the final game of the night, NC State on Saturday, on Saturday, defeats Oakland 79-73 in overtime. So kind of a good finish to that one, but certainly
Oakland's final possession was so bad.
It was bad.
I don't know if you saw that.
I did, but it was NC State. They're kind of the Cinderella team right now running through it, an 11 seed. They'll now face Marquette. All right, then on Sunday, yesterday, of course, those games that got the rest of the field into the Sweet 16, you had Purdue hammering Utah State. They dominated both halves. They scored 49 in the first, 57 in the second, 106-67 over Utah State. Zach Edey, ho-hum, 23-14, and also had three blocks in that one. UConn over Northwestern, 75-58. Northwestern could not shoot.
No.
And yeah, I know UConn has a lot to do with that,
right,
but Northwestern could not shoot in that game.
Yeah, Northwestern just couldn't make a shot, but also you had Donovan Klingon with eight blocks. That guy's just an absolute eraser around the rim.
Really,
he just did Boo Booey, couldn't get anything. He got blocked like five times. Tough way for Boo Booey, who's been so good. He goes 2 for 15 in that game. Do feel kind of bad there because he's had such an unbelievable career.
Without a doubt, you hate to see it end that way.
But you just run into a UConn team that's just a wagon right now. Yep. There's nothing you can do.
And they smothered Booey. I know Shannon is a little bit different of a player.
Right.
But
they had their freshman, Steph Castle, on him a lot, who's kind of a longer 6'6", athletic wing type. But he's really good defender. I mean, you look ahead to a possible Illinois matchup, that is probably their Terrence Shannon, you know, assignment.
And it worries you a little bit how well he did with a guy that is so good as Boo Booey. All right, Houston A&M, another overtime game, 195.
Houston tried to give that thing away, man. They were up 12 with like 2 minutes to play. A&M found a way to make shots. Houston turned it over a couple times. But really, Texas A&M should have won this game because they missed 16 free throws.
Mm.
Houston, all four out of Houston's five starters had fouled out of the game by the time this one ended, and Texas A&M still couldn't find a way to win. That one definitely hurts. It feels like Houston dodged a major bullet there with all the foul trouble, how many times they put A&M on the line, the fact that that huge comeback happened and they had to play overtime without their starting center and their starting two guard, and they still won. I think they're still in pretty good shape, but that was quite the game.
Mm. Cougars improved to 32-4. They'll now face Duke. Duke hammered James Madison. That was a James Madison team that I thought would make that close.
Yeah, I did
too.
But Duke
looked really good in that game.
I had James Madison in my bracket as my little Cinderella team, and I was feeling great after watching them play Wisconsin. They beat Wisconsin up. I mean, you didn't have a score bug on the screen. It's like, well, James Madison's the 5 seed, and this 12-seeded Wisconsin is just overmatched by this group. But then Duke, wow, I know I've been kind of down on this Duke team, but if they play like they did yesterday, I think Houston's going to have quite the challenge.
Marquette moves on 81-77. Colorado kept throwing punches at Marquette and kept getting back into it, took the lead a couple of times, but Marquette had enough in the end. Tyler Kolek was really good, 21 and 11 assists for him. So Marquette advances. Clemson over Baylor, a little bit shocking, 72-64 in that one. Ray J. Dennis, 27 points, 6 rebounds, 3 steals, but he'll be watching.
Yeah, Ray J. Dennis, no Sweet 16, Illinois Sweet 16.
Maybe you should have made a better thought there. Alabama over Grand Canyon. That was kind of a cool story watching Grand Canyon get to 30 wins with their first-round win, but they fall 72-61 to the Crimson Tide, who, by the way, have a better odds of getting to the Final Four than Illinois. Now,
I think
a lot of
it
is the
based.
UConn.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yep.
And then you've got San Diego State, who hammered Yale after the cool run that Yale made, 85-57. Ladee is really good.
He is a
for
monster.
San Diego State. I heard you talking about him when I took off Friday. He really is a monster. He had 26 points and 9 rebounds. So that's what you got. Can't wait for the Sweet 16 to begin on Thursday. And, of course, the Illini will be in action Thursday night, probably around 9. I'd say between 9 and 9:30 is the start time. So get ready to stay up on Thursday night. When we come back, you'll hear some of the celebration and the postgame from the Fighting Illini after their win on Saturday that got them to the Sweet 16. We'll do it next. It is The Drive.
Here's another home improvement insight from Kramer Siding and Window. New roofing and siding are a winning combination that can instantly change the look, feel, and function of your home. Our Kramer Siding and Window team takes pride in being an Owens Corning Platinum Preferred Contractor, able to offer a best-in-the-business 50-year warranty. Pair it with preservation siding in your favorite style and color, and your home will be a showstopper. Start today and save 10% on roofing and 25% on siding. Call us, click on KramerSiding.com, or visit the showroom in Champaign.
Firestone Tires can make all the difference on the road. Drive with confidence. Plus, take advantage of the road-ready financing options. Get the tires and services you need now and pay over time. Your vehicle will thank you for the upgrade. Since 1917, Clay Dooley Tire and Auto has been committed to helping you drive with confidence. Just off Neal Street, call 217-352-4286.
Clay Dooley Tire and Auto. Proven, trusted, your friends and
Illini pizza fans, great things come from Jet's Pizza. Detroit-style pizza is one of them. Freshly made dough pressed into steel pans inspired by the Motor City. Topped with premium mozzarella, Mama Jet's secret sauce, fresh toppings, then baked to the thickest, crispiest, cheesy crunch. Want Detroit-style proof? Order Jet's famous 8-corner pizza. It's 8 pieces of crispy, crunchy, and cheesy to the edge pizza. Right now, get $5 off an 8-corner pizza at regular menu price. Online code 8SAVE. Jet's Pizza. Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Have you ever looked at a junk truck and said, man, that truck is pretty? Two men in a junk truck, trucks are pretty. They're pretty big, so they can handle large jobs. They're pretty reliable. Two Men in a Truck has been recognized as a trusted leader in the moving industry for over 35 years. Now we are proud to offer that same reliability to junk removal, and they're pretty fast. When you're ready to let some things go and that you don't need, you don't want to wait 3 weeks. You want it gone now. Go to twomenandajunktruck.com and make room for what matters most.
Kelsey Furniture in downtown Tuscola sells Tempur-Pedic beds. What's it like?
I'm going to tell you right now, Stevie, that thing is the best thing I've ever slept on in my life. My wife and I both have said we've never had better night's sleep. And the people at Kelsey's were fantastic. Brian is the guy that helped us. You know, as much as I did my research, he has a world of knowledge about beds themselves. Oh, man, it's like sleeping on a cloud, man.
Kelsey Furniture, downtown Tuscola. PDR Automotive has now been serving the Champaign-Urbana area for over 50 years. To give you some perspective, 50 years ago ended the U.S. involvement in the Vietnam War, and it was when Secretariat won the Triple Crown. So what does that mean for you and your vehicle? Whether you need a carburetor overhauled or your new vehicle computer system diagnosed or programmed, PDR Automotive has the experienced, knowledgeable staff that can handle all your automotive needs. Online at PDRauto.com, they are what's best for your truck or car. They are PDR.
I'm still trying to get the water out of my ear from post game, but what a great start to the ball game. I thought that I have so much respect for Keith Ambrott. What an unbelievable career. What a way for him to end it. Great win against BYU. Very, very talented team. I think they'd won 9 in a row and maybe 16 or 17 out of 19 or 20 to end the season. These two guys, they made a difference on the defensive side to start the game. They're two terrific guards I thought we did a good job on. And then we got out in transition. And when we get stops and rebound, we can be pretty special. So just kind of continued. Little lackadaisical to start the second half, letting them have three or four threes. But for the most part, we got Marcus going in booty ball. Coleman got us off to an elite start with his threes. And, Terrence, those three guys, pretty special players.
Start right here in the front row, Gina. Then there's one also on the left here. Go.
Jeremy Werner, Illinois Inquirer. Brad, you said yesterday to ask you, what does it mean to get this monkey off your back, the program, and get to a Sweet 16, get to that next step?
Well, it's never been on my back. You guys have made that. These guys don't know anything about any of that. And I treat every team independently. I think for the program's sake, it's mind-blowing to me. And I think there's frustration that we had a one seed and got upset in this very game. But this program's elite. And to not be there in 18 or 19 years, to me, that's more mind-numbing. We had tough draws and a couple injuries and you get beat. And that's the beauty of March Madness. But it feels good to be advancing with this group. I've said all along, this is one of my favorite teams to coach, if not the favorite. And on to Boston.
Yeah, Abby.
Abby Schnabel, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Coach Underwood, I noticed you had a moment with Keith Ambrott at the end of the game where you stopped and chatted with him. I was wondering if you'd be willing to let us in what you said to him and just what that moment was.
I've known Keith for a long time and done clinics with him. So much respect for him as a coach, so much respect for his accomplishments, what he's done. He's always found winning. Winning's really, really hard to do. No matter the stops along the way, whether at the high school level, whether at Akron, and then obviously here at Duquesne, coaching's a pretty small fraternity, and really really good guy, and you pull for the good guys, and for him to be able to go out and do it on his terms and have this run is pretty special.
Right here in front, gentlemen.
This question is for Brad. This is a Brian Teague, CSM Sports. Brad, the team got onto a really hot start. What was just the message to the team entering this game tonight?
We talked about it. These guys made it a point. It wasn't very much fun being down 9-0 in a minute and a half. I'm to the point where anymore I don't have to say a lot. These guys are grown men. They're they care, and sometimes they care too much. But, they made a point to it, and we talked about it. We had to get off to a better start. We couldn't let this team get some confidence coming off their BYU game, and we needed to make a statement.
Steve Greenberg, Chicago Sun-Times. I'd like to hear from Brad and Coleman on this. When do seeds go out the window? You're a three. You're going to play a higher seed next for the right to play potentially the highest seed after that. Do these seeds matter anymore?
I feel like the seeds don't matter as soon as the ball is tipped in that first round. I feel like that's evident every year. I feel like as soon as the ball is tipped, anybody can beat anybody. Whatever team plays the hardest. And it's an imperfect game, and to try to base it off of seeds is kind of bizarre. Because there's so many great players that play in the tournament, so many great teams. And all of them are chasing that one common goal, and everyone's going to compete extra hard. So I feel like the seeding's out the window in that first round, really. It's game on.
Yeah, I agree with that. I've been a 14-1. I've been a 12-1. I've been a 1 and lost. I think it's more about how you're playing. I think it's about the matchup. I think so many little factors that go involved. I think it's what makes this March Madness so unique is, you know, we've now seen 16s beat ones in this thing. So, our task is we've got in front of us a team that was seeded higher than us. Okay, we've played in the Big Ten. We've played some of the very best teams that the basketball has to offer. We've played a great schedule. We've been on the road. That's what you do all those things for, is to prepare yourselves for these moments.
So do you guys feel like underdogs now, you know, going against the two? I mean, according to the bracket, you know, that's how people look at it. Do you feel like that?
I mean, every time we step on the court, I don't ever feel like an underdog, you know, no matter who we're playing. I think with this group of guys, we can always go out and beat anyone in the country. So, I mean, I'm really not looking at the seeds. I'm looking at Iowa State, who they have, and how we're going to win.
Same. It's every game's in. It's when you've got a group that's veteran, when you've got a group that's old, they know each other. They know how to play. I don't ever go in. I go in with a feeling that of respect for the opponent and how good they are and what they do, but I never go in with the mindset that we got no chance. Maybe if we were playing the Celtics or somebody in Boston, I might feel a little different. But we've shown we can play with the best.
So just what is for you, Coleman? So you've been a foundational piece for the program. Just kind of walk us through just how you're feeling in this moment.
Part of me wants to get like really excited. And part of me just like wants to keep the job's not finished mindset. So it's just kind of in between right now. I'm really happy for everything we've accomplished this year. But to sit here and say I'm happy with making the Sweet 16 is, you know, is not what I want to say. I want to be happy with winning a national championship. So, I'm aware of the history because it kind of gets thrown in our face a little bit. But, I think the goal now is to really go out and do it and, you know, become national championships, because that's why we're here. So
this is for Marcus and Coleman. You guys have won six straight games now in the postseason. How do you feel going into Boston about your team, and what gives you confidence that you can compete for a national championship?
I feel good about our team. You know, I think we're hitting our stride and turning in the right direction. You know, you always want to start playing your best basketball come March, and I think we're doing that. So, you know, I feel confident. You know, Iowa State's a really good team, so we got to play our best to beat them.
Yeah, I mean, I feel really confident in this team because I feel like there's still something missing that we haven't reached yet. I think there's a whole nother level of intensity that we can play with, both offensively and defensively. I feel like there's moments where, you know, guys got to step up and knock down shots, and that's on me. And there's moments where we got to step up and lock in on defense and limit defensive mistakes. So I'm really confident in this team because, like I said, I feel like we got a whole nother level we can tap into for sure.
I'd love to hear from both Coach and Marcus if possible here. For Coach, a lot of people say this is a guards tournament. So just how important is it to have Marcus, you know, being the engine of this offense, and was that a point of emphasis to go out and get a guy like him in the offseason? And then for Marcus, just how much pride do you take in making this offense go?
Yeah, I think that we had a lot of ideas when we recruited Marcus. We knew how good a player he was. And between Marcus and Ty, Nico Moretti, I've said all along, I felt like our point guard position was in great hands. And Coleman gives us an unbelievable luxury as a five-man who can really handle and alleviate pressure. So it wasn't about having that position. It was about being able to put guys in position to take advantage of mismatches and put them in positions to be successful. And Marcus's basketball IQ, Ty's basketball IQ, Coleman's basketball IQ, those allow us to be able to get away with, quote unquote, if you guys want to label it, the non-traditional point guard. He's as much a point guard as anybody that's in this field. And the triple-double last game proved that.
Yeah. I don't really consider myself like the engine of the offense. I think that's what you said. When you play along guys like, you know, Coleman, Terrence, and the list goes on and on, you know, we just get the ball to where we want to get it to. You know, some days that's me, some days that's Cole, some days that's TJ. You know, it's just, you know, we're just out there playing basketball, really. And I think Coach has done a really good job of just getting the ball to where it needs to and allowing us to use our strengths. And I think that's why our offense is so successful, because we just, everyone uses their strengths really well.
Marcus and Coleman, I'm curious to know what you guys think you did so well against Day-Day Grant. You held him to 7 points. Not a lot of players this season have been able to do that.
I think it was our physicality as well as forcing tough twos. We try to keep everything two on two. We try to war over ball screens, and to see our guards, Marcus, Ty, everybody, you know, take a crack at him, Terrence, everybody. It was exciting to see, because obviously we made it tough. And just limiting threes, crawling up in his space, rather than letting him create with the ball and create his own shots. So I think we did a good job of just forcing tough twos and sticking to what we do.
Yeah, I think just our size and physicality is something that, you know, they probably haven't seen before. You know, between TJ and Ty, you know, that duo on the ball, just the whole game guarding you, it wears on you.
A tradition of excellence over 150 years in the making. At Busey Bank, we're committed to building relationships that span generations. Wherever your journey in life leads you, we are with you along the way, creating a legacy for you and your family. Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868, proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
When you're buying a battery, it's important to look beyond just the price and make sure you're buying a quality battery. So when you're buying one from the big box store, make sure you ask the question, what's the date on this battery? Is it dependable? Sometimes the big box stores have batteries that have been sitting on the shelf for years. Or you can just come to Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable, and buy your battery from the people who only do batteries. Interstate Batteries at 2504 North Madison, Champaign. Way out there, but totally worth the drive. How much is dependable worth to you? Interstate Batteries open 6 days a week.
Basketball star Luke Goody on why he chose Pacifica on Green as his place to live next year.
I chose this place because of the great management. Lisa does a great job and takes care of all the people that live here, regardless of who it is. The rooms are great. All the amenities are great as well, and it just feels like a family atmosphere around here.
Should other students tour at Pacifica on Green?
Whenever they can get in here, they need to, because it's great to see, and it offers a lot of great things that other places don't.
Book a tour at PacificaOnGreen.com. You've heard about the doggy bag, right? From Bulldog Disposal Muhammad, a 6-cubic yard canvas bag that can be used for easy cleanup instead of a big dumpster. The one-time use bag is now available, and you can save the delivery charge. Get the doggy bag at Do It Best Hardware in Champaign at 107 West Springfield. So fill up the bag, call Bulldog Disposal, have it disposed of, and you'll be organized. Go to bulldoggybag.com for all the details. That's bulldoggybag.com.
Since 1917, Clay Dooley Tire and Auto has been committed to helping you drive with confidence. Firestone Tires can make all the difference on the road. Plus, take advantage of the road-ready financing options. Get the tires and services you need now and pay over time. Clay Dooley Tire and Auto, just off Neal Street. Call 217-352-4286.
Clay.
Since Busey Bank first opened our doors in 1868, we have built upon a tradition of close relationships and broad financial capabilities. Our experienced team provides the highest level of personalized service to ensure we accomplish your goals, simplifying your wealth management and business lending needs, and ensuring a legacy for generations. Building business, growing wealth since 1868. Proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
You've changed thousands of diapers, played hours of peekaboo and duck duck goose because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm agent Kurt Lenshaw will help make it easy and affordable to help you protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm agent Kurt Lenshaw in Champaign-Urbana today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Stevie J Broadcasting is giving you a chance to win a pair of tickets to see some cast members from Ancient Aliens Friday, March 29th at the Virginia Theater.
Don't miss out when Ancient Aliens Live lands in a town near you. The Out of This World Tour continues. Hear from the experts of Ancient Aliens live and in person.
All of you are on this journey with all of us together.
Win a pair of tickets to see some cast members from Ancient Aliens Friday, March 29th at the Virginia Theater as you text in Ancient Aliens to try and win a free pair of tickets at 217-359-2255.
Ancient Aliens Live, Project Earth, lands in the Virginia Theater Friday, March 29th. Tickets on sale now at thevirginia.org.
Text in Ancient Aliens to try and win a free pair of tickets at 217-359-2255. Details found at thevirginia.org.
The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5, The Drive with Tay and Piper. Kyle Tosk in for Derek today. I just went and sat down and did some stuff and my foot fell asleep.
I hate that.
And now it's tingly and it's like bouncing. Because it's like tickling me almost, but it's, I can't tell if it's pain or a tickle.
I know exactly the feeling. It's just really weird and annoying.
And then you put, I haven't had a foot go to fall asleep in forever. Then I put it down on the stool and it, like, I can't do it. It, like, oh my gosh. All right. I didn't know that a foot falling asleep would take me out of radio for the first time. Like, mid-show. I've never had that happen.
For the first time you're out of radio?
Well, mid-show. Sorry. Let me start over there. I don't think I've ever left mid-show due to an injury and or sickness. Now,
there you go. Okay.
Due to a sporting event, that's pretty much 60% of the time. So we know that. All right. Had a good time today talking to Derek Piper and also to Kyle about this Illinois team making the Sweet 16. We've got more ahead on that. We've got a lot of interviews we're trying to set up over the next 2 days. Programming note, again, we will not be on Thursday due to St. Louis Cardinal opening day. Of course, it's in L.A. It's not in St. Louis. So we will not have a show Thursday, which kind of stinks because we could be leading you up to the Illini game. But like Kyle said, you'll be able to watch the Cardinals game at 3, Cubs game at 6:30, and then the Illini game at 9:30 or so. That's a solid trifecta right there. For a day, you know, not that any, I mean, some of us probably need to get up and do a little exercise and walk after sitting for 4 days watching college basketball. But, hey, get your walk in today, tomorrow, and Wednesday, and then get back to being lazy again on Thursday. Believe it or not, opening day is 4 days away for the Cardinals and Cubs. Cubbies open, do we know, at Texas? Or
it is at Texas, okay. Yes.
So the Cubs are at Texas. You'll have Steele on the hill there. And then the Cardinals with Miles Michaelis are in L.A. to face the Dodgers. Nothing like starting off against the L.A. Dodgers, who, of course, the Rangers won the World Series last year. But the Dodgers made all the news this off-season. Do you know well enough to go through that Dodgers lineup?
I know the
batting
heart of the order. You got Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, Shohei Ohtani.
And probably, is Trey Turner still on that team?
No.
Oh, he's not.
He's with Philly.
Was he on that team?
He was for a year.
Okay.
They traded for him and Max Scherzer at the same trade deadline.
That's right. It's disgusting how good the Dodgers are. So today, ESPN rolled out all their teams in order of who's the best team and on down the road. The Cubs were the first NL Central team at 14. So I thought I would read you a little bit of this, Kyle, and tell me, I'm putting Diane's glasses on. Tell me what you think of what they say. First of all, their projected record, 84-78. So a 49% chance of making the playoffs. Your World Series odds are 0.7%. Is that fair?
Probably.
Just in contrast, is it four or in? The St. Louis Cardinals projected record 85-77.
Oh, come on now.
Now hold on. 56% playoff odds. Their World Series odds are 1.6%.
Come on.
Now, that said, ESPN had the Cubs ranked 14th overall.
Are we doing this, really?
Just listen. The Cubs were ranked 14th overall, so that's better than what the Cardinals, who at 17. But yet they're giving better odds and better record to the Cardinals, so it doesn't make any sense. All right, what has changed the most since we last saw them? Again, this is from an ESPN column. This is the Cubs. Cubs surpassed expectations only to fall short of the postseason. That's too bad. This year, they're favorites to win the NL Central. They are. They're counting on an influx of top prospects to help out. The Cubs boast the best farm system in the National League. Is that true?
Yeah, it is.
And 11 of the organization's top prospects, according to ESPN, could realistically make their debut in 24. The list is topped by Pete Crow Armstrong. He of his, like, what did I say he wears? He'll have his cowboy boots on in left field.
I can't remember what you said.
Pete Crow. He'll have the long...
He's got his blue hair, though. That's
yeah,
what
the
he's
blue
got going for him.
Mullet hair and cowboy boots with cutoff jeans is what Pete Crow Armstrong will show up on game day. He was the favorite to open the season as Cubs starting center fielder until they re-signed Cody Bellinger. He will make his way to the Cubs at some point this season. Most likely award winner. Four times, Craig Counsell has finished second NL Manager of the Year voting. They think he'll win Manager of the Year. I could see that. How excited are you about having Craig Counsell?
Very excited. I was not a very big David Ross supporter towards the end of last season, especially. Craig Counsell's a guy that I've respected like crazy with what he's done with Milwaukee, and the fact that obviously you're working in a smaller market there, and it feels like you look at that Milwaukee team. Now, they obviously have had the top end of their rotation, and their sure. bullpen has been loaded with guys, but look up and down that lineup and that roster, and it's not a team that should have had all the success that they've had here the last five or so years. So I think he's going to make a huge difference.
I agree 100%. How can they become true contenders? Well, Justin Steele emerged in his age 27 season, going 16-5, finishing fifth in the Cy Young. Behind him, there are questions about Shoto Imanaga transition from Japan, how Jordan Wicks performs in his first full season, how Jameson Taillon bounces back.
And
did I say that right?
To start the year.
Oh, he is hurt. Of course. And whether hyped pitching prospect Cade Horton emerges.
Now that's the one I'm excited about.
Explain him to me.
He is, well, he's the Cubs' top pitching prospect, the guy they drafted in the first round.
Nice.
2 years ago, and he's just been dominant all throughout the minors so far. Last year in Double A, towards the end of the year, he went on a tear of just striking guys out and putting zeros up, and now he'll be in Triple A to start this year, I'd imagine, kind of knocking on that door.
Okay.
So. Yikes. I'm excited.
Getting Steele, and then if he emerges.
He's got that, like, ace number two front end of the rotation potential that I think this Cubs team, when you project into the future,
right,
you need to find a guy to pair with Steele at the top of the rotation.
There you go.
He could be that.
Okay. That scares me. I'm not going to lie to you as a Cardinals fan. If the rotation steps up, according to ESPN, they'll run away from a crowded NL Central. One bold prediction, Seiya Suzuki put it all together in the second half of his second season with the Cubs. Let's say he comes close to that over an entire season, which is 300 average and 30 home runs. That could be big for the Cubs. I guess he's on fire today, somebody said.
He's got two homers today against the Cardinals in spring ball.
But yeah, get him out of the system. Get him out of your system.
Yeah.
All right, Cardinals, of course, the better projected record, the better odds to get to a World Series. What has changed? The Cardinals didn't waste time addressing their needs. They got Kyle Gibson and Lance Lynn and Sonny Gray, who signed a three-year $75 million deal. They ended the offseason by signing Brandon Crawford, another 30-something-year-old. It's amazing how old the Cardinals are. They talk about how maybe Nolan Arenado for MVP. They said this is his last chance to make a run at an MVP. He's never been the MVP. That's hard to believe. I know he finished third behind Goldie, and I can't remember who was second. Was that Betts? couple of years ago.
Also finished second behind Chris Bryant in 2016.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay. How can they become true contenders? The Cardinals' vaunted development pipeline has stalled, forcing the front office to plug several rotation holes from the outside. If Gray, Gibson, and Lynn, who signed for a combined $99 million, can step up, the Cardinals might challenge for the Central. If not, it'll be another grueling summer in St. Louis. The Cardinals starters finished last season with a 5.08 ERA. Only the Royals, Reds, A's, and Rockies were worse. They also said one realistic bold prediction, Nolan Gorman cracks 40 home runs, Jordan Walker hits 30, but the Cardinals still missed the playoffs with 80 wins, recording their first back-to-back losing seasons since 94 and 95. So a little bit better for the Cubs in terms of a little hope, I would say. I don't know. I just told you.
I just want it to be explained to me how a 71-win Cardinals team, who I get it, Sonny Gray's a good signing. Now he's banged up a little bit to start the year.
Lance
Lynn. You go out and get two 36-year-old DP starters who are just giving up home runs every time they stepped on the mound last year. Now, I get that there's some young talent there in St. Louis as well. I get that that lineup is still pretty lethal, but how does a 71-win Cardinals team have a higher win projection than the Cubs, who won 83 last year based on the fact that they added some fossils?
Wilson Contreras, who homered off you today. That's how.
And I do think the Cardinals will be better than last
year. I do, too.
But are they making up 12-win difference based on how the two teams operated this offseason?
No.
Come on.
No. And, of course, they'll start the season with Tommy Edman hurt, Lars Nootbaar hurt. You've got Mason Winn, a rookie at shortstop. That's kind of an important position to put a rookie. You still do have two bookends there at first and third.
Yeah,
with Goldie,
that
and
lineup is still really good.
I agree. They should be able to score some runs. They just need a pitcher to have a quality start in the first 2 months. I don't think that happened last year in the first 2 months. That's the disgusting part of all of that. So, yeah, it's all going to come down to pitching for the Cardinals. There's no doubt about it. And I remember the days when the Cardinals had kids like Matt Morris and, you know, even the years with like Michael Wacha and some of those guys that were like they had developed and were going to be young studs for a while. But, boy, that's been a while since they've been able to do that. Matthew Liberatore hasn't lived up to that trade. Obviously, Zach Thompson is going to get a start in place of Sonny Gray in the lineup, or in the rotation. So we'll see what happens. Hey, we're running late. Tomorrow could be a guesty day, but we're still setting it up. We're trying to get a 24/7 reporter. You might remember him, Alex Bussey. No on that. We're trying to get a reporter to join us for Iowa State, so we'll try to do that tomorrow or Wednesday. We've also got some other things coming, maybe Trevor Valise, which would be fun as well. So a lot to do, a lot to get you ready for Illinois and Iowa State Thursday night. Cannot wait for that. We'll continue to do that tomorrow. We're out. It is The Drive.
Your spring cleaning can make a big difference, and not just in your own home. As you declutter this spring, please consider donating to the Habitat Restore, located at 1914 Glen Park Drive in Champaign. The Restore is happy to take your gently used furniture, tools, home decor, appliances, and more to help fund Habitat's mission to build affordable homes with local families in need of safe and decent housing. Drop off your items during business hours or for qualifying donations, schedule a free pickup by calling 217-359-0507. The Restore is happy to take your gently used furniture to help fund Habitat's mission to build affordable homes with local families in need of safe and decent housing. Drop your items off during business hours or for qualifying donations.